ESPN. This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Previewing all the NFL game odds to get you ready to wager each week on all the NFL action, college football, plus all the local teams and NBA action later this fall. This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN. Bet LA with Anita Marks right now.
Welcome in. Anita Marks with you here on Bet LA, 710 ESPN LA. And we've got our Thursday night football game still happening with about 5 minutes left. The score is 20-15. The Bengals are up. And so the spread coming in was -4. If you watch me on Daily Wager earlier this evening, I told you I was buying it down to 3. I personally don't like betting games that are -4, -5, -5.5. I don't like it. And if I feel true conviction about a team that I think has a true advantage, then I'm going to roll with them. And I felt like the Cincinnati Bengals did home in Queen City, going up against a Miami Dolphins team who just gave it 180% against the Buffalo Bills last week. Their defense was on the field for 90 plays in 100-degree weather with 100% humidity. And then they had to go on a short work week, travel to Cincinnati to take on a Cincinnati Bengals team who I felt last week for the first time offensively looked like the Bengals team we saw play in the Super Bowl last year. So I was all about Cincinnati, but right now, so I've buried the lead, and obviously the lead is Tua has suffered a neck and a back injury in this game and has been removed. So Teddy Bridgewater is in. Right now, he's 11 for 15 for 163 yards and a touchdown, and he is driving right now with, again, 4 minutes left in the game. It's second and two. They're on the 30-yard line, which is uber impressive, right? So you've got to, and just covering the NFL as long as I have, let me just tell you that there's not a better human being playing football right now than Teddy Bridgewater. He's just a good dude, a guy that you always want to cheer for, you always want to root for, but obviously he's going up against my money because, again, I've got Cincinnati -4. I also bought that down to -3, and I've got a lot of prop bets that are working right now as well, and considering that it's 2015, there's no chance that this game is going to go to overtime. Here's what the positive is. A field goal is not going to help this Dolphins team. They have to score a touchdown. And they're down by 5. So if you were on the Cincinnati team, then that definitely works in your favor, right? Because, again, they need to score a touchdown here in order to win this game. So chances are with 4 minutes left, how many they have all their timeouts left. So I don't know. Listen, this is above this. Coaching is above my pay grade, okay? I just want to, in the way that the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow has been able to move the ball down the field at will, I want to believe that the Dolphins feel that they need to score a touchdown here in order to win. I don't know. If it comes to fourth down, do they go for a field goal? I don't know. And Teddy Bridgewater was just intercepted, so... So there's that. So right now, if you did take Cincinnati -4, if you did take Cincinnati -3, -3.5, the line was fluctuating all the way up to kickoff. Well, then you've got to feel really good about yourself because right now, again, Cincinnati's up 20-15. There's 3 minutes left, but the Dolphins do have all 3 timeouts. So what does that mean? We'll see. We'll see what happens and what Cincinnati does with this offensive series here. But again, as I said, really the big storyline here is the fact that Tua left the game with a neck and back injury. And here's where I think Pandora's box is going to get exposed. And that is, if you recall last week when this Dolphins team took on the Buffalo Bills, Tua had this one play where he was hit, he fell back, and he got up, and he stumbled, and he was taken into the locker room. He immediately came back out. And I want to say, like, the hit happened in the second quarter, went into the locker room, came back and started the second half. And there was like talk and speculation, like how's he back in the game? He was obviously loopy, but the reports were that it was a back and neck injury, not anything relating to a concussion. I find that very hard pressed to believe. I think the NFLPA found that hard to believe. Therefore, the NFLPA is actually investigating what took place in that game. But obviously, an investigation takes time. So Tua traveled with the team, obviously, suited up and played for the Dolphins against the Cincinnati Bengals and took a pretty vicious hit where he was thrown to the ground. His head hit the ground and his body reaction. And I mean, there might be some folks right now listening and Jamar Chase. Okay. Right now, 2:45 left in the game. Joe Burrow connects with Jamar Chase for a significant amount of yards, and they're in the red zone and possibly going to score again. But back to the Tua situation. So Tua gets hit. He goes down. His head hits the turf, the pavement, whatever, the grass. And immediately his hands go in this really weird formation. And so I called a doctor friend of mine who was watching the game, and I asked her, I said, what is that? Like, I've seen that before where somebody who has some kind of like neurological brain, head, neck injury, and you know, their hands get pulled in close to their chest, and it's some kind of like weird, I don't know. How would I explain it? But let me bring in our producers. Of course, we've got Tyler and Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome back. We missed you last week. You guys are producing the show. I'm sure you guys were watching. I want to assume you guys were watching. I don't know. Maybe you don't have Prime in the studio, but at that point in time when Tua went down, maybe you've seen the replay of it. I don't know. But his hands kind of like did this like weird.
Yeah, they kind of so. What I'm reading is that this is a fencing response to somebody that's been concussed. And so what happens is the arms kind of come in front of the face. So if you can imagine somebody bringing their hands in front of their face and kind of tucking in their elbows, and then the fingers, they kind of straighten out.
At least they try.
Well, yeah, they kind of
it like was trying
straighten out uncomfortable, like it looks
right
incredibly uncomfortable,
like double jointed or something.
Yeah, and evidently it's what's referred to as the fencing response when somebody, and it's typically related to a contact sport like football, where they take a relatively brutal hit to the head or to the spine, and this is how the body responds.
So again, my PT doctor friend called it, and I know I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, and I apologize for all you PT and doctors out there, decorticate posture. And what it is, and I'm just reading it from the definition that I got online, an abnormal posturing where bent arms, clenched fists, and legs are held out straight. The arms are bent in towards the body and wrists and fingers are bent and held in the chest. This type of posturing is a sign of neurological issues. So, you know, again, I just shared with you for a number of reasons. Number one, our hearts and prayers go out to Tua and the Tua family, right? Like, you know, football's a brutal sport. You know, you sign up, you know what you're risking each and every day you play. There's no denying that. But, you know, obviously, you know, this is a situation you never want to see happen to any player. And I don't think this would be as big of an issue as it is right now if it wasn't for the fact that we saw Tua get injured last week against the Buffalo Bills, went down with a very hard impact to the ground with his head, came up, buckled, but then of course said, well, it was my back and my ankle, not any type of concussion. the NFLPA is now investigating, and now this happens. Like it's insult to injury in essence. And so this is just, I think where there's smoke, I don't know, guys, and I'd love for you guys to chime in on this. Like where there's, I feel like where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think this is this could be a very huge red flag for the Miami Dolphins, especially if the NFLPA find out that protocols were not followed last week in Buffalo. Agree or disagree?
It's so absolutely agree. It's so frustrating as a fan of the sport to watch players that show such promise. A perfect example is, you know, Tua Tagovailoa. On a team that shows so much promise, as a quarterback who's finally showing the potential to perform at the level that he was drafted at, for a team to put winning first, to put the sport first over the health and safety of a player, I mean, there's no denying at this point that protocols weren't followed, that precautions weren't taken to protect him, and sending him out back into the game against the Bills and then allowing him to suit up and go out and play tonight against the Bengals. There's no denying that something was done incorrectly and that the team put winning first over the safety and the protection of a player.
And listen, we've seen it time and time again where you allow a player as well to say, hey, no, I'm fine. Let me play. And, you know, Tyler, Rebecca, I don't know how many organized sports you've played. You know, I played women's professional football for 5 years. I've played a lot of organized sports, like, and I'll share a story with you. I tore my left ACL when I was 18, playing in a flag football tournament in New Orleans for my University of South Florida. And I didn't get it repaired. I played all kinds of like competitive sports wearing a Don Choi knee brace to protect my ACL. So I wouldn't injure my knee any further. I tried to avoid surgery as much as I could. Okay. When I was 18, now fast forward, I'm older and now I'm playing women's professional football and it's my second game. And I go down with an ACL injury on my left knee. So now I'm down. Now I'm in the locker room. The doctors are examining me and they're like, Anita, you tore your left ACL. And I was like, oh, man, are you kidding me? I was like, tape me up. Give me another knee brace. They're like, what are you talking about? You have no ACL. You don't have an ACL on your right leg and you don't have an ACL on your left leg. We are not letting you go back out and play tackle football again. And I said, no, I'm do it. Like, get me another brace, tape me up, whatever you need to do. I've got to go out there. Like all I could think about was I got to get up. I got to get back out there. But meanwhile, guys, marinating this, like I'm sitting in the bowels of the Orange Bowl at the time. The Orange Bowl was still in existence. The Marlins weren't playing there yet. And I had no ACL in either knee. And I'm like, tape me up. I want to get out there. I want to get back out there. Like you just, you know, as an athlete, you can't, you just have such desire to continue to play, to continue to battle, to continue to, you can't put it on the player.
Well, adrenaline makes you feel invincible.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Rebecca. Absolutely. Let's open up the phone lines. 877-710-3776. What say you? You're watching the game. Thoughts on Tua and the Miami Dolphins and his injury. Again, we're all praying that he's going to be okay and have a safe and fast recovery. But there's some big question marks here with the Dolphins. There's some big question marks here. And in fact, the NFLPA, you know, researching and doing an investigation in regard to what happened last week with the Bills and the unfortunate situation that happened tonight against the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, 877-710-3776. It is BetLA. Anita Marks with you here on 710 ESPN LA.
710 ESPN. This is BetLA with Anita Marks, our new show, which you can hear regularly Thursday nights right here on 710 ESPN. Once again, back to BetLA with Anita Marks. The valley of the shadow of death.
Little Coolio for you. Godspeed. Again, 877-710-3776. Anita Marks with you. This is Bet LA. I know this is a betting show. We typically always hit the airwaves with the last few seconds, last few minutes of the Thursday night game. And so let me fill you in. Right now, the Bengals are up 27-15. And again, the big news today is, or this evening, is that Tua went down with a pretty vicious neck injury. And there's a lot of concern there considering what he experienced last week against the Buffalo Bills. The NFLPA is investigating that, let alone what happened tonight. Ooh, Dolphins could be in some trouble, that's for sure. If of course, protocols were not followed last week. But Cincinnati is up 27-15. So if you took Cincinnati -4, -3.5, I said on Daily Wager I was going to buy it down to -3, and I got that at -33. What does that mean? So folks that are listening in right now, and I don't mean to speak in tongue where you don't understand what I'm saying. So the line was fluctuating heading into this game. It was either going to be -3.5. It was going to be -4. I don't like those lines. I don't like -4. First, I don't like -3.5. I don't like buying. I don't like betting a team with a hook. This is the NFL. There's a lot of parity in the NFL. Anything could happen on any given day. We've all seen the movie, Any Given Sunday. So, you know, I like lines of 3, 2.5, 7, 6.5. Those are the lines I like, okay? And I know a lot of people feel that teasers bets are sucker bets. I don't. I like teasing dogs. I don't like teasing favorites, by the way. But nonetheless, if you did get the Cincinnati Bengals at -4, -3.5, -3, kudos to you. Chances are they're going to win. They're up 27-15 with 53 seconds left. And unfortunately, Tua exiting the game. Love Teddy Bridgewater. He's 14 for 23 for 193 yards and a touchdown, one interception. By the way, guys, let me just share with you that I had a feeling, not that this would happen to Tua, okay? I didn't have a feeling that he would be rushed to the hospital and it would be this significant of a neck and back injury, but I had a feeling that we were going to see Teddy Bridgewater play tonight. So I actually played Teddy Bridgewater in DFS. And I haven't checked my DFS lineups in matchups, but I have a feeling I may have done pretty well. 14 of 23 for 193 yards and a touchdown and interception. Not bad for Teddy Bridgewater to come in. Let's be honest. Some other, did you guys say we've got a caller?
We do have a caller, AC in South Central. He wants to talk to you about Tua.
All right, let's do it. Before we dive into some of the statistics out there for folks out there who have, I'm sure, a number of players in this game that you have on your fantasy rosters. Let's take our caller. Welcome in.
Hey, I'm just here to talk about Tua, man. It's like so many layers to this, from the contract they want Lamar to sign or not sign, and then everybody knew Tua was hurt in his head. And then the NFL lets him, or tries to put over on everyone, how it's a back and it's a leg injury. And now he gets slammed down. I don't know if his head struck the ground totally, but Tua's too small to be playing out here injured. Because he's breakable already. So I don't even understand how the hypocrisy of the NFL trying to tell everybody that, hey.
You there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just wondering, yeah, like, you know, what are they trying to say? I like that line bet, but I would have took Cincinnati giving points against Miami because they're like a fall quarter of action. And I knew that floating pass that Tua throws would get caught.
Yeah,
I knew he just throw interceptions. Teddy looks terrified too. I don't know how long he's going to last.
Appreciate the phone call. And here's the thing, you know, the NFLPA, again, they are investigating what happened last week with Tua in Buffalo. Okay. What happened tonight compounds what happened last week. My gut's telling me this is not going to be a good look for the Miami Dolphins. We'll see what happens. you know, again, Tua came out and said had nothing to do with a concussion. The Miami Dolphins came out and said nothing to do with a concussion. It was back and ankle issues. You know, but obviously the hit that he took, I feel, and again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not sitting here pretending to play one on 710 ESPN LA, but based on you know, like the eye doesn't lie, and based on what we saw tonight and how hard that hit was, just seems to me that it was compounded by what happened last week. Only time will tell. But really quick, before we take a break, for all you fantasy football freaks out there like me, not calling you a freak in any negative regard, just like me, let's go through some of the stats out there. So Tua, 8 for 14 for 110 yards and an interception before he left the game. Teddy Bridgewater came in, not that anybody, but 14 of 23 for 193 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Mostert carried the ball 15 times tonight for 69 yards. Okay. Chase Edmonds, and it's topsy turvy back there in that backfield for the Miami Dolphins. You never know each and every week. It's one week it's Mostert, the next week it's Edmonds, one week it's Mostert. You just don't know. It's really a big headache. 5 carries for 6 yards. So Mostert averaged 4.6 yards per carry. Edmonds only 1.2. But Edmonds utilized in of course the passing attack. 3 targets, 2 receptions, 14 yards, and of course he scored a touchdown. So that's where the backfield stands. Tyreek Hill doing Tyreek Hill stuff, right? Way to go, Cheetah. 10 receptions, 160 yards, no touchdown, but nonetheless, 160 yards, not bad. 10 receptions, if you play in a PPR, obviously that's 10 points. Jalen Waddle came in dealing with a groin issue, keep that in mind. 2 receptions for 39 yards with 5 targets. Okay, so those are the stats for the Miami Dolphins. Of course, Joe Burrow, 20 of 31 for 287 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did hit his over of passing yards, which I want to say was at 275 coming in. He did not reach his completions or his attempts. I had the over of 24 completions, the over of 37 attempts. Those did not hit, but his yardage did hit, and he did have 2 touchdowns. Joe Mixon carried the ball 24 times, ran it for 61 yards, and scored a touchdown. He was also a part of the passing game. He had 4 targets. He caught all of them for 13 yards. Joe Mixon over under 3.5 receptions, and sure enough, he hit those receptions, obviously at 4 receptions. So if you had over receptions for Joe Mixon, winner, winner, chicken dinner. T. Higgins was the star of the show for the Cincinnati Bengals tonight. 7 receptions, 124 yards, and a touchdown. His longest of 59. Jamar Chase, 4 of 81, 6 targets. So Jamar Chase did hit the, both T. Higgins and Jamar Chase hit the over in receiving yards. That was my best bet on Daily Wager tonight. Over receiving yards for Jamar Chase, and sure enough, he hit it. Tyler Boyd had an over-under of his longest reception of 18.5. Well, his longest reception was 43 yards. And that was another prop bet that I had thrown out there tonight on Daily Wager. So that hit. You know, we're in the money tonight. If you did watch Daily Wager, if you heard me earlier here on the Afternoon Drive show, and I gave out a number of my prop bets. And of course, I told the fellas to bet Cincinnati -4, -3.5. If you wanted to buy it down to 3, it's all good. So winner, winner, chicken dinner tonight. But again, it's one thing to feel good about your wagers. It's one thing to feel good about your bets. It's another to have some major concerns for Tua and what's going on with him, and some concerns about this Miami Dolphins organization. And did they handle Tua properly? Joining us next is David Behrman. I call him our gatekeeper of everything gambling at ESPN, because really that's what he does and that's who he is. So he's going to join us next, who happens to be, by the way, a huge Dolphins fan. So I'm intrigued to get him on, curious to get his thoughts in regard to Tua and this situation with the Miami Dolphins. What does this mean now in regard to the landscape of the NFL? The Philadelphia Eagles are the only team left in the NFL that's undefeated. And oh, by the way, they're going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. which is a legit, I'm not playing around. Don't drive off the side of the road. I'm telling you right now, this Jacksonville Jaguars team is a legit team, okay? So we get back, we'll talk to Dave Behrman about the Miami Dolphins. Also, our phone lines are open. You want to chime in on what you saw tonight, what's going on with Tua, the NFL, the NFLPA, the Miami Dolphins. Would love to hear from you. 877-710-3776. And let's talk about that Philadelphia Eagle, Jacksonville Jaguar game. Also, I want to look at some of the futures bets out there. You know, what's the probability for teams that are 4-0, 3-1, 2-2 heading into the season, their chances of making it to the postseason, their chances of winning a Super Bowl. We'll look at some of the future bets out there as well. So still a lot more coming your way. Anita Marks with you. It is Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks.
Right now, let's get back to Bet LA and back to Anita Marks.
Welcome back. Bet LA, 710 ESPN LA here on 98.7 ESPN. If you're just tuning in, Angels up on the Athletics, 3-0, bottom of the six. Dodgers and Padres all tied up at 2, bottom of the six as well. And the Thursday night football game, the Bengals do defeat the Miami Dolphins 27-15. David Behrman joins us now. First time here with us on Bet LA. I like to call him our gatekeeper of everything gambling when it comes to ESPN and our digital site. So, David, welcome in. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I've had better evenings, but you know me as the resident Dolphin fan from Miami, your neck of the woods, and you know my fandom, so it was disheartening to lose, but more disheartening to see Tua go out like that. But according to the latest reports, looks like he's flying home with the team tonight, which is great because I don't think you fly the guy home if he has severe head trauma or neck trauma. So that's a good sign. Obviously, it was scary in the moment. But, you know, missing QB1, and you pretty much went right down to the two-minute warning with the Bengals. So I thought they played hard. Thought they played, did what they could, considering they had a backup QB in there. But it's just disappointing to know that, you know, you can't get your quarterback through an entire game.
No, that's so true. And I want to get your thoughts on this because I opened the show with this, and that is, you know, last week watching Tua against the Buffalo Bills and the injury that he suffered there, we saw his knees buckle. He went into the locker room and then immediately came out to start the second half. And I was like, whoa, wait, what? And, you know, reports are it was just a back and a neck, no concussion. And then, of course, you saw what, and I know, of course, you were watching the game, I'm sure, every second, being a Dolphins fan, and then watching his reaction, how his body reacted to that vicious hit and him going down. We both know the NFLPA is investigating whether or not the Dolphins really followed all the protocol. I'm just curious to get your thoughts when you saw Tua go down and you saw his body react and the way that his hands were clenched, and what was the first thing that went through your mind, David?
Well, to be honest, let's throw it right out there. I'm not a doctor. I'm not pretending to be a doctor. I'm not a medical professional. And quite frankly, other than having a couple of concussions in my life, like, I'm not even going to pretend to know what does and doesn't happen when they do the protocols. All I can say is the Miami Dolphins said he didn't have a concussion last week and that he cleared all the protocols. And I actually got the honor of going to lunch yesterday with ESPN Stefania Bell, who is our fantasy injury expert. And you know, she walked us through what actually happens in these getting cleared through a concussion protocol. And it's not just the Miami Dolphins. The NFL has a representative there, and there's an independent person that's not affiliated with the NFL or the Miami Dolphins. It's a medical professional that's there. And when all is said and done, I'm not in the locker room. I'm not there. You're not there. Nobody on social media is there either. All I know is what happened, and they cleared him. Now, did he have a concussion? Did he not have a concussion? I can only go on the word that I'm told, and told that, you know, the investigation is ongoing. But as far as we know, that they did what they were supposed to do and they cleared him and went back in the game. Now, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. There's a lot of people who are trying to tie one thing into another. To be honest with you, you asked me what I thought when the play happened. I did not surprise people, but I didn't tie the two together. Tonight's hit was a bad hit. It was a concussion and neck injury and head injury, and they brought the stretcher out and ambulance to the hospital, where he's since been almost soon to be released. But I don't automatically say it had anything to do with last week. Now, it could. very well could have to do with last week. Maybe he passed protocols and they missed something. Maybe he did have a concussion and that led to what happened tonight. I know that when I did talk to Stefania, she did say that there are two signs to a concussion immediately. One is the complete lack of, you know, the head, having no idea where you're at. And the other one is the hands up like that. And the way she described it is exactly what happened tonight on the field. When you have, I believe it's called fencing is the medical term, that when you have a traumatic head injury, your hands do go up like that. So no doubt in my mind that tonight was a concussed player on the field who was then taken to the hospital. But I'm not here to tell you what happened last week. I wasn't in the locker room. I saw the play. I saw him get up. I saw him go down to the ground. I have been told by many medical professionals that that can happen if you tweak something in your back. Again, not a doctor. You're not a doctor. Nobody out there is a doctor. But I'm not automatically going to assume that one thing led to the other or that the Dolphins did anything nefarious. He was cleared to come back in. Yes, it looked bad. It looked like he was woozy when he got up and he fell. So everyone's going to assume concussion. I assumed concussion last week. I was as surprised as you and as surprised as everybody else when he came back on the field for the second half. And do you give the team the benefit of the doubt that they wouldn't risk a player? I just know that McDaniel at his press conference also said that Tua had no idea why they were asking him concussion tests, because he said, I didn't hurt my head, I hurt my back. They had to show him the play and show him how he reacted to understand why we all thought it was a concussion. That being said, I go back to my very first statement, Anita. I'm not a doctor. I'm not playing doctor. I hope he's okay. And the team and the investigation will go on. But what we saw tonight, I'm not automatically going to assume it had anything to do with last week. It might very well could have. But I'm not anywhere near a professional to be able to say it did or didn't.
David Berman joining us here on 710 ESPN LA. Oh, that's just so natural for me to say. So this is a Dolphins team now that they're 3-1. Unfortunate loss to the Bengals. They have to get on the road next week again and take on a Jets team who, with all expectation, is Zach Wilson will be back under center this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, and with all due respect to the Jets, as you know, I'm here in the New York area. You know, if Teddy Bridgewater has to come in and play, which, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater looked pretty solid tonight, David, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that interception that he threw on the second to last drive, which effectively ended the game, he looked solid. And compare it to the week before when he came in after Tua left the Buffalo game. And he threw two passes and got sacked and looked miserable. He looked like he knew what he was doing today. He looked like he knew the playbook for the most part. There were a couple of plays late, and it was back-to-back plays. The play before the interception, he went and did an RPO and turned the wrong way and stumbled into his running back, and then the very next play was the interception. So you also saw a play late in the second quarter where he threw a slant pattern to Waddle, and Waddle wasn't there. He was blocking. So you're talking about a backup quarterback for a reason. I like Teddy. My family has known Teddy Bridgewater's family for a very, very long time, so nothing but love for the guy. But it's a different story if he's your starting quarterback the rest of the way. And Tua getting discharged and hopefully on his way home tonight is a good sign that it's not career-ending or season-ending. Hopefully it's not. But it is a different dynamic. He's in the game next week versus the Jets as opposed to Tua in there. So we'll see what happens. You got 10 days. I'm not even pretending to guess whether Tua would get cleared or not. We don't even know what actually the diagnosis was. But either way, you'll see one of them next week versus the New York Jets.
Yeah, but I you know, again, I'm not sitting here pretending to be a doctor either, but based on what we saw tonight, you know, one would assume that more than likely it'll be Teddy Bridgewater more so than Tua going up against the Jets. And my point is, and again, with all due respect to the Jets, you know, it's a good thing you're not taking on the Buffalo Bills, right? Or the Baltimore Ravens coming up in week five. So, and especially since this is a Miami Dolphins team, they're sitting at 3-1. And oh, by the way, the Buffalo Bills have to go up against the Baltimore Ravens with a depleted defense. And we saw Miami beat them last week with a depleted defense. And chances are the Baltimore Ravens can do the same. So, you know, I'm looking at this AFC East division. And if Teddy Bridgewater has to sit out 1 week and it's against the Jets, well, then I think that bodes well for you as a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, and I'm not hitting the panic button yet just by the fact that Teddy is probably going to be the quarterback next week. If you look at the Dolphins schedule coming up, I had always said, I believe I said it on the 98.7 FM show, New York show with you earlier this year, the first four games of the season were going to be difficult between the Patriots, Ravens, Bills, and Bengals. And I said 2-2 were better, and I'd be happy. Well, they're 3-1, so 3-1 is happy. Obviously, tonight was disappointing, but the Dolphins go into their 10-day break 3-1, and not only do they get the Jets, but then they get the Vikings at home, the Steelers at home, and then they go to Detroit and Chicago before playing the Browns without Deshaun Watson, and then the Texans. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Dolphins should be, again, it depends on who the quarterback is, they should be favored in each of the next 7 games based on the odds makers. So, like, you got that in front of you. You survive the first 4 games at 3-1, and then you go into a 7-game stretch where you will likely be favored in all 7 games. You know, you win, you go 5-2 or 6-1, and all of a sudden you're sitting there with 8-9 wins with 5 weeks to go, and you're in pretty good shape for the playoffs. So they did what they needed to do at the beginning of the season, and hopefully they get, you know, their quarter. And it's not just Tua, by the way. You saw that Xavier Howard left the game with a hamstring injury that he had been hobbled with over the course of the week, and he left early, and Jalen Waddle looked like he was banged up a little bit. So they got 10 days, and they got to get everybody healthy before they play the Jets.
Before I let you go, looking at the slate, you know, one would argue or debate that Buffalo at Baltimore is the premier game this week. But I have to say it's Jacksonville for me against the Philadelphia Eagles, because Jacksonville to me has to be one of the most surprising teams so far this season. The way that Doug Peterson has them playing, their defense has been spectacular, and now they have to get on the road and head out to Philadelphia to take on a Philadelphia Eagles team that has really taken the NFL by storm. If you had to rate like what you think the best game is in this week's slate, what would it be for you?
I would go with neither one of those, and I'd go with Kansas City versus Tampa Bay, Mahomes, Brady, Super Bowl rematch from 2 years ago, which almost was another Super Bowl last year if the two teams could have taken business. You're talking about, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback and the guy he allegedly was passing the torch to, and two of the teams that no one would be surprised if they make deep runs. So I think the Kansas City-Tampa Bay game would be the one that I would point to. Obviously, that's the Sunday night football game. I do agree with you that Jags-Eagles, I think that's a fantastic matchup. We're going to learn a lot, Anita, about both those teams, because the Eagles have looked great, 3-0. Haven't exactly played the 3 hardest teams in the league, but they've got it done, and they've blown all 3 teams out in the first half. Have struggled in the second half. They scored no points each of the last 2 fourth quarters. So, like, my play on the Eagles game would be probably to take a first half play, since they've been the best first half team in football this year. And then I do agree with you that the Bills Ravens game will be one to watch. Pretty good game, 2 great teams. In fact, that's the AFC Championship matchup that I predicted before the season started, was Bills-Ravens. So I'm looking forward to seeing that too. But I will have a Sunday with the Dolphins not playing, so I get to pick and choose what I want to watch.
That's for sure. David Behrman joining us here. Again, I like to call him our gatekeeper of everything pertaining to our digital platform, columns, all of that at ESPN. David, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to being on again.
You got it. David Behrman joining us here on 710 ESPN LA. 877-710-3776. Again, 877-710-3776. You want to chime in, now's the time to do so. We're going to start looking broader outside, of course, the Cincinnati and Miami Dolphins game. Some other games on the week 4 slate. One in particular, again, that I think is, for me, the most intriguing, and that is Jacksonville against Philadelphia. So still a lot more coming your way. Anita Marks with you. Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA.
710 ESPN. This is Bet LA with Anita Marks, our new show, which you can hear regularly Thursday nights right here on 710 ESPN. Once again, back to Bet LA with Anita Marks.
Hey, never take for granted a divisional win. Great job. We really challenged the special teams to start it off the right way. I thought you guys gave us a real edge today. Give it up for special teams. Yeah. Come on. All right, where's Michael Hoyt at, man? Yeah. We talked about being able to have that mindset and mentality all day. All right, felt his presence defensively. Thought you guys played a great game overall. Jalen Ramsey right here. Yeah. Go.
Hey, we had a great win, man, but we got to get better. Everybody know we got to get better. Our standard is still, man, the sky ain't even the limit. Man, we can do whatever we want to do when we put our mind to it and we work our ass off. Y'all know what I mean? Yeah. Let's get in the lab this week. Let's correct this game, then let's go get it again. Rams on 2-1-2.
Rams. Yes, sir.
Rams on 2-1-2. Rams sitting at 2-1, beating the Cardinals 20-12. But a big game coming up on Monday Night Football as they head to San Francisco to take on the 49ers. 49ers favored by 1.5. And hold on 1 second. What's the over-under right now? Game lines. 42.5 is the over-under. As much as I'm sure Rams fans don't want to hear this, I'm leaning towards the 49ers for a number of reasons. And so let's start there first and foremost with what's going on with the 49ers defense. One of the best defenses in the NFL in the first 3 weeks. Last week, they forced the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson into 3-and-out 8 times. 8 times the Denver Broncos went 3-and-out. In fact, 50% of their opponents' drives are 3-and-outs, not just Russell Wilson. 50% of their opponents. Their opponents have only reached the red zone 9 times. 9 times this season. They're only allowing 3.9 yards per play to opposing offenses. And here's really where it gets really, really interesting, and that is, or I should say impressive, if what I've shared with you is not impressive enough, they're first in NFL pressure rate without blitzing. They blitz less than 40% of the time, and they're first in NFL pressure rate. And if you know anything about football, you know that's the main elixir. I love that word. That's my favorite word in the dictionary. I try to use it as often as I can, even if I use it improperly. Isn't it a great word, Tyler?
I love it.
It's my favorite word. But in all honesty, like that is the elixir. Teams that can get pressure by only rushing 4, especially against a good quarterback in Matthew Stafford, and you're keeping those DBs back, that's really where it's at. So that's a really big reason why I'm on San Francisco -1.5. In fact, to be even more honest and more transparent with you, I won't use the word shocked, but I'm surprised that this line isn't 2.5 or 3, to be quite frank. Jimmy Garoppolo last week was his first start of the NFL season, and keep in mind, did not get a lot of practice time because it was the year of Trey Lance. Ridiculous. He's still kind of, getting the cobwebs brushed off. So I don't think it was vintage Jimmy Garoppolo that we saw last week against Denver. And Denver's not a shabby team defensively. So I'm expecting a bigger and better Jimmy Garoppolo this season, this week, I should say, and the season. And he's 6-0 against the Rams in the regular season with a 68% completion percentage. And he gets his guard back, Brunskill. So offensive line gets better. Jimmy Garoppolo has 1 week under his belt, a game and practice time. And defensively, this 49ers team is just ridiculously dumb. So those are all the reasons why I'm on the 49ers this week. As for the Rams, no disrespect to Matthew Stafford, but, here's something interesting I came across. His QB rating in throws 15 yards or more, no bueno. 4 for 14, 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So you want a sneaky good play? Matthew Stafford under 37.5 for his longest reception. Again, 4 of 14 with 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions with passes that he's throwing over 15 yards against the San Francisco 49ers defense. This might be one of the sneakiest good prop bets heading into this week, is his longest completion under 37.5 yards. Just throwing it out there, sharing it with you. As we know, Cam Akers and Henderson not sure, still don't have a good grasp in regard to how this backfield's working. I don't necessarily like the way that Sean McVay is utilizing them. One thing about the running back position is that, it's like there's an ebb and flow. You have to come into a vibe, a rhythm, a groove. And when you're going like, oh, Cam's coming in for this series, Henderson's coming in for this series. Oh, wait, we're going to go back to Cam. Oh, wait, no, we're going to go back to Henderson. You can't expect these dudes to like thrive in that. At least I don't. So Cam Akers under 42.5 rushing yards. Henderson, his rushing yards aren't even posted here. That's how bad that is. The 49ers, they're a really, really good team against opposing tight ends. Tight ends are only averaging 2.3 yards per target against the 49ers. So Higbee under 41.5 receiving yards. You can get that at minus 140. Just throwing that out there. Really, to me, the only guy, and I know I'm not going out on a limb here. I'm not breaking news. But to me, the only guy who I feel is really going to have, that has the opportunity to have success against this 49ers defense is Cooper Kupp, right? Last year in three games that he went up against the 49ers, 122 receiving yards, 118 receiving yards, 142 receiving yards, three total touchdowns. So right now, what's the prop bets out there for Cooper Kupp? Over under 93.5 receiving yards. That's pretty high. I'll be honest with you. That's pretty high, even though, yes, 122, 118, 142. Okay. But 93.5, that's pretty high. You get that at minus 115. What does that mean? It means you're laying $115 to win 100. And then receptions, over under 7.5. Over is minus 140. Under is plus 105. Again, these are pretty high. But at the end of the day, Allen Robinson, what's he doing? Not much. Higbee is going to be up against a really, really good defense, especially against opposing tight ends. If the Rams are going to do anything, it's going to be with Cooper Kupp. So I think he gets a plethora of targets heading into Monday night. I've got some major concerns about this Rams team, especially against such a phenomenal 49ers defense. So again, I know Rams fans don't want to hear this, but this is a gambling show. I'm not here to blow smoke. I'm here to try to help you win some money. And if I was playing this, and I will be playing this, who am I fooling? It's the Monday night game. I'm going to play San Francisco -1.5. I'm going to play Matthew Stafford under 37.5 for his longest completion. I'm going to play under rushing yards for both Cam and Henderson. If Henderson yards do post, we'll see. The touchdowns have not posted yet, but Deebo Samuel has 6 touchdowns against the Rams in 7 games. And now that Jimmy Garoppolo is back at quarterback, I do believe that we're going to see Deebo Samuel as well as Brandon Ayuk have those typical games that we've seen them have before. So I am going to play Deebo Samuel to score a touchdown as well. Those are going to be my bets heading into the Rams matchup. Quick break. We come back. We kick off hour number 3. We've got some guests that are going to be joining us on the show tonight, besides David Behrman, who we just heard from, I should say. Sarah Barshop is going to join us. Of course, she does a phenomenal job covering the Rams, to get a deeper dive into the Rams. Also, Dave Spadaro, who's part of the Eagles broadcast team, is going to join us on the program as well. And I'd love to hear from you. 877-710-3776. Also, Tyler and Rebecca, if you guys want to chime in, if you agree or disagree with me, I'm so intrigued with this Jaguar-Eagles game, more so than I am with the Bills and the Ravens. And David Behrman was on and kind of was like, what are you talking about? Kansas City and the Bucks are the game of the week. What's the game of the week to you and why? I'd love to hear it. And I'll give you my play in it as well. 877-710-3776. Anita Marks with you. Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA.